The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Can't run around too much today. Everybody's used to me running around, but I can't do that too much today. It's one of the great privileges of life to be able to be here today. I think that it is quite something to have been ordained for 50 years. And time has a way of bringing us into a place where we can look back on the journey and where we can learn from that journey the things which perhaps at the time we didn't realize were lessons. Sometimes the things that happen in our lives are the things which we don't expect, and sometimes we know they're coming, but we don't want them to come. And sometimes they are things which we pray earnestly for or earnestly against. Now today I have a little project which we're beginning, and so for the kids, and it's called a resurrection garden. Has anybody ever done a resurrection garden? Okay, so a resurrection garden is a garden which has in it the symbols of the things of the journey from beginning to end, the journey Jesus makes to Jerusalem. And in the resurrection garden, you find the things which, when we come to Easter, all speak to the journey we've been going through in Lent. So we have several boxes. They're foil trays, but they work because they've got to be waterproof because it's a garden. Got to be able to water it. We have some sand, we have some potting mix for soil, and we have a couple of things to make a tomb because you've got to make sure your tomb is in the garden early because a tomb was pre-prepared, you know. So the tomb will be in the garden from now, but it won't actually take on its place until later. And later on, there'll be things like three crosses on the hill behind the tomb. And there'll be things like an olive press, because Gethsemane is a place where you press the olives, and a path to walk, and things like that. So they'll all end up in the garden, but today we're doing the basics. So any of the kids who'd like to make a garden, you're welcome to come down, and the table's over there and all the bits are there. And if you'd like to do something, Michelle's going to help you. And You can go and get there. Now, I do have gloves for the kids to wear so that they're playing with potty mixed with gloves, not with bare hands. And we have all the bits and pieces, and I'm going to leave them to do that in the back there. And hopefully by the end of this service, we'll have the beginnings of some resurrection gardens. And you're welcome to take your garden home with you today for our visitors and complete it as you see fit. If you look it up online, you'll find resurrection gardens and you'll be able to see what they sort of look like in the end. Tuesday night, I was driving home from the pancakes. It's always good to have pancakes. Enjoyed the pancakes. Was very well done and enjoyed it. We were at the Uniting Church. They have a little hall they allowed us to use in a decent kitchen, because although we have a kitchen, it's not much of a kitchen. It's really a kitchenette, isn't it? It's the sort of thing you find in the motel with a microwave, if you're lucky, and a kettle. So they have a good kitchen and they have this little hall which they allowed us to use, which was wonderful to use. And I was on my way home, and it's not very far from the Uniting Church to the vicarage. And I was toddling along, and there are a couple of roads that come up from Point Nepean Road and straight through, and I'm driving through and I have right of way. And I came to the first street after I'd crossed the main road. And as I entered the intersection, a guy in a ute came through so fast he nearly took the front of my car off. I reckon he missed me by a foot. He was going so fast I didn't even get time to brake. That's 40k in our streets around here, so it was a little bit faster, just a bit. And you can sit there and say, oh my goodness, I nearly died. Or you can sit there and say, oh my goodness, God made sure I wasn't there a few seconds earlier. As we look back on our path through life, we will often find that God has had seasons and times for us, that there have been moments when we have understood that it was God's season. And other times when we've not understood the season until the season made itself plain to us. Ecclesiastes, the writer to Ecclesiastic, which is widely held to be Solomon, but certainly the name that we're given is Koheleth, the royal philosopher. Ecclesiastes is one of those wisdom books that we often skip over because it's seen as something which you read when you're really looking for a bit of wisdom, but not necessarily something we draw a lot from. And yet here we have this amazing passage, and the passage gives us something which is so useful. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There is a time for absolutely everything in God's economy. There are times for rejoicing and there are times for mourning. There are times for war and times for peace. When it talks about throwing away stones and gathering stones, that's war and peace. When you are expecting an army to come and invade you, you gather the stones and you throw them on the roads so you make it difficult for the army to come through. And when the war is over, you gather the stones up and you put them back where you got them so that you can get through. It's a time for everything. And who has his hand over the time? Our Lord. When we think about being called into service, sometimes we have absolutely no idea that's what God's up to. He brings us through times and seasons. And sometimes our times and our seasons can be quite convoluted. I know Keith's path in some places was fairly convoluted. Mine was too. Probably most people in ministry find this. we find ourselves invited into things we don't really want to do, usually. And yet, somehow, we find when we get there, there is a fit and a place. And we go and somebody says to us, well, we want you to train. And as you train, you start to see that there is something else going on here because there are things in which we feel that it is, we can do that. I can do that bit. And then we go out and we work in places where we've been sent. And people say to us, oh, I think you should do the youth work. Some of us who are very sensible say, no, I'm not doing that. Perhaps they say, oh, you should go and do, I think you should be leading some Bible studies. Or perhaps you should be doing this. Go and have a go at that. And we do that. And somewhere within our heart, something says, yes. And then someone says, I think that you should be ordained. You say, nah. That was my reaction. Even though I knew I was called into ministry, I wasn't too sure about this whole ordination thing. I did not feel good enough. You know, we all have the not good enoughs. He who has the times and the seasons isn't interested in good enoughs because he is good enough. It's God's good pleasure to call us into the places where we can use the gifts and the abilities we've been given. And the places where we've been given those abilities will be in all sorts of ways. And not all of it's ordained ministry. After all, there's people who are given the gifts and abilities in music, which are beautiful. Beautiful voices are given to people. Wonderful abilities to play are given to people. People are given the ability to arrange flowers. It's Lent, so we don't have any. But the craft ability to do those things which adorn a church, the ability to do things in the business world which allow you to lead in a business in a godly way and perhaps become a pillar of a place where people can see God at work somewhere other than in the four walls of a church. Abilities to do things in the garden. Don't ask me to do that. These are brown. Touch anything, it usually dies. Except roses, they seem to be immune to me. That's probably the thorns. But other people, they plant something and it just goes whoosh and it all works. The ability to parent and bring up children and to have that place amongst a family where you are able to give your children the values and the belief system which gives them the way to live in life. Mind you, they'll make their own choices and sometimes once they get out the door, you never know what they'll do. But, again, God gives these abilities and he calls us to live them out and they are all service when they are done in service to the Lord. And some of us are called to leadership in various places, in various ways in the church. And sometimes that means that somebody wants to set us apart for that leadership. And that pathway is usually pretty difficult. Partly because there's a lot of study and other things involved, but also partly because one has to develop the skills to be able to multitask across a great breadth of things. Melbourne Diocese still has as their basic qualification a double degree. So if you're having trouble, it can be difficult if you're having trouble with education. And yet these days, thankfully, they're helping people through that. And over time, I've seen them help people through that and help them to make sure that they got what they needed to be able to lead well and teach well, because the Word of God is important to an Anglican church, is it not? To be able to speak well is important, and to be able to explain it well is important. And we can sit here and talk about our abilities all the way, but the fact is, if God calls you to it, he is going to anoint you for that. He's going to give you the gift you need for the thing he's called you to. Because he doesn't call us and then leave us short. And quite often what happens is we feel that we need to do something. God's put it in our heart and somebody says, I really think this is your gifting and I'd like you to step into this. And we sit there and go, no, I can't. Because I know me. That's precisely the point where the Holy Spirit has the opening, if we will allow Holy Spirit to do it, to work within us, to bring up in us the things which God has gifted us in. And he doesn't leave us alone. There are always elders, people who know far more than we do around us. And so long as we can always be learners, because we got to be, because nobody gets there until you get to heaven, really. So long as we can be learners, we can grow in whatever God calls us to. And sometimes our calling is much later in life. I wasn't ordained till I was 40. Did a few other things first. 40 felt very late. It doesn't feel late now. But at the time, I thought, I'm a bit old for this. I've said it before, if you ain't dead, you ain't done, folks. When I worked out that Moses was 80 when he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, I decided that 40 wasn't so bad after all. And what does God do? He leads us in, he gifts us accordingly. And then we find ourselves in situations and we always are somewhere behind it just a little bit. And yet the Holy Spirit leads us through. When things are difficult, the Holy Spirit leads us through. When things are good, the Holy Spirit says to us, don't get a big head, and leads us through. One of the greatest privileges is to be ordained. It's a real blessing. It's also a calling that one never steps into without first being sure it is right, because God's people are precious and he doesn't want us ever to treat them wrongly or to lead them poorly. So it is true that we feel not good enough, but he is so good. And the thing is that often when we don't feel adequate, something happens and we sort of go, I don't know how that happened, but it was the Lord. He's our Redeemer. He makes the way in the sea, the path in the waters. He makes the armies lie down. He fights our battles for us if we'll let him. Sometimes you've got to get out of the way and let God do the thing. We pray, we work with, and then we have a great Lord who leads us through. He tells us not to look back. Don't remember the former things or consider the things of old. He says, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Only God does that. We sometimes forge our way out of our own strength, but we run out of ourselves after a while. But if the Lord is the one making the way in the desert, then suddenly where you are going, even if it feels like desert, you'll find that there is water there and there is food, because he is our strength and our joy. Perhaps you're sitting there saying, I know I have some gifting and I'm not too sure I want to say anything in case somebody invites me to do something I don't want to do. Do it anyway. Because, you know, if you're not quite in the right spot, then it becomes pretty sure. If you've ever been in a job that was not quite the right job, you know that you are a square peg in a round hole, won't you? We know that we're getting the edges knocked off, and sometimes we need the edges knocked off, but sometimes it's just not the right fit. And the thing is that if we don't step out in faith, it doesn't happen. Think about our disciples in our reading today. They're fishermen. They're not thinking about being evangelists. They're not thinking about doing miracles. They're not thinking about preaching the word of God. They're fishermen. They have to run their business and make sure that they make the money and pay their taxes. But they're not expecting to do what Jesus has just called them to do. And I'm sure if he sat them down and said to them, now these are the qualifications required to be an apostle in the church of God, they would have failed dismally in a lot of things because they wouldn't feel they could do any of that stuff. But Simon and Andrew and James and John are the pillars of what Jesus set up. Because with God all things are possible. And because Jesus already knew they could do it. They just didn't know that yet. And he spent 3 years equipping them and helping them to learn. And he led by example. And before he called them properly, he went and did what he needed to do. He was baptized in the River Jordan because that was what needed to happen so that he might fulfill, because of his human self, needed to fulfill everything that needed to be done. And baptism was part of that. Because he's still part of Adam's line. And he had come to die for Adam's sin. And then he went out into the desert and spent 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he needed to do that too, because he needed to face those temptations, which are always our temptations. The temptation to take power for ourselves. The temptation to try and take the easy route, the shortcut. Serve me and I'll give you everything and you don't have to worry about the cross because you'll be king of the world. But Jesus was king of the universe, not just the world. But it would have been easier to not do the cross, wouldn't it? For our sake, he said no to that offer. For the sake of the fact that there was no way he would bow to Satan, he was not going to give in to that offer. And having faced up to the temptation, he then came and called the first four of 12. Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. Did they understand what he meant? Probably not. They found out soon enough. What journey are you on? Perhaps you feel like you're getting to the end of the journey and there isn't much more to do, but there will be. Because God always has something that we can bring, something he can do through us. Perhaps you're at the beginning of the journey and you know it's there and you don't particularly want to step into it. But God knows you. And he knows exactly what your heart is. And he puts you together in your mother's womb. And he absolutely knows what he can do through you. And he can lead you in that. And perhaps you're in the middle of a journey at the moment. And you don't know where the journey will take you. That's okay. I went on retreat a long time ago when I was working in Sydney. I went on retreat to a little retreat place. And on the wall of the room that they put me in, there was a poster. On the poster, it said, "I do not know the future, but I know who holds the future, and I am safe in his hand. I do not know the future. But I know who holds the future, and I am safe in his hand." I'll tell you how many times I've needed those words, especially when I nearly get written off by some idiot driving at some high speed through an intersection. I don't know the future, neither do you really. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we celebrate today because today is the day that the Lord has made. And we celebrate Keith today, and we give thanks for 50 years of ministry, ordained ministry, and plenty of years before that, I think. And we give thanks for all that has come to us through him. Here and in many places. And we look forward to what God is still doing. Because Keith ain't dead, so he ain't done. Wednesday Bible study, people will say amen to that, won't you? Let me pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are the one who leads us, that each one of us is part of the body of Christ and each one has a place in that body to serve you and one another. Father, we give you thanks that you have given us the empowerment of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection, that we might be able and enabled to do that which you have called us to do. Father, we give you thanks for community and the blessing of those who lead our communities. And we particularly give you thanks for Keith. Father, we celebrate so much today. Help us to hold the day and live it for you every day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.